Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Transformation Cafe with your host, Robin Misevich. Transformation Cafe, a weekly half hour of light, topical conversation about health, wellness, happiness, personal growth, spirituality, and other insights. We're glad you're here. Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul. Now, let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's show.
Well, I want to welcome everybody to the Transformation Cafe. I'm your host, Robin Misevich, and tonight we're going to be in the fast lane. We're definitely going to be in the fast lane. And I'm going to go ahead and bring on my lovely co-host, Miss Amy. How are you tonight?
I can't calm down. I can't focus. I can't focus. What are you talking about? I don't know what to do.
Girl,
I need help, Robin.
Girl, you need to calm down.
Help me.
Well, you know what? This is the show for you, Ben. If you're having hard times with, I'm calling the show Real Time Stress Management, Calming, Focusing, Real Time Resilience. It's fast.
Oh,
it's portable.
God.
It's effective.
Oh,
I know. It's awesome. It's awesome.
Let's do it.
It's awesome. I know. I'm very excited about this chapter because it's something that's been near and dear to our hearts for quite a while, you know, with Amy, all the different teachings and stuff that she does, and just with a lot of the other programs and stuff I've done with Laughter Yoga and just creativity, the artist's way, all kinds of different things. Where a lot of these tools that we're going to talk about tonight are things that are integrated into these different teachings and programs. So I'm really excited to be talking about it, and hopefully both of us are going to be able to add a little bit of something to the mix when it comes to what we got going on here tonight. So Amy, anything right off the bat you want to talk about with the FASC skills of calming and focusing?
Well, I really like how they talk about it. Starting here on Chapter 9, I think it's just got a lot of really great things, and they talk about the last two skills, which are the calming and focusing, and which is number 6, and number 7 is real-time resilience. And I'm starting to use that term a lot with people because I think people, when you say stress management, you know, they're like, or centering, or they're like, what are you talking about? But when you talk about, when I say real-time resilience, they go, oh, I get that.
Yeah.
So
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't seem so airy-fairy or something. People seem to really get it. So I'm very excited. And in the very beginning of this chapter, they talk about challenging beliefs and putting in perspective are applicable in most situations, but they aren't the most effective skills when your emotions are so strong that you can't even think straight, when you don't have the luxury of 15 minutes to process a situation, or when you feel like you need a simple but effective way to have a moment of calm amid the chaos. And that's right, when you're in that blah state, you're not going to, which is the most important thing to look at right now, and what's my belief? You're just trying to not hurt yourself or somebody else.
Mm-hmm. For sure. Yeah, and I love that they really break it down and talk about, you know, that it's they're powerful tools that can really help you to quiet your emotions and when you're feeling that out of control. And one thing that I really like, too, is, you know, it's really talking about, you know, both can be separate things, but when they put them together, how much more powerful and dynamic it can be, and just having it be a real-time thing that can be very effective for you.
Yeah, and what I, with energy psychology, and we're going to hopefully have Dr. Kristen Miller on next week and really talk about using the resources for resilience, tools for resilience. She is a trauma expert and has been doing that for 30 years. She got a PhD when she was 24. She's an amazing, amazing person, and she lives in Redding, California, dead smack in the middle of those fires. Has been evacuated several times and is working with the Red Cross and school districts and local community members to really help them to take the time to, what is my next step? And I think that's it. When you're, we like to call it emotional first aid with our humanitarian committee of the Association of Comprehensive Energy Psychology. Because I think people understand that, and that we have an acronym we use to say FAST, First Aid for Stress and Trauma. And so what that, you know, really does is really gets you calmed down. There are, you know, several of these techniques, so I recommend you do those, like the heart breath, what we were just talking about. When you're, I can't decide what to do next, you know, who do I call, what do I do, that what you need to do is stop and, you know, put your hands on your heart. We can do that right now. Take a nice deep breath. And then breathe out gently. So it's just nice and gently. You know, put your hands on your, your right over your heart, your chest. If you feel comfortable, do that. And if not, you can imagine that you're doing that. And then what you do is you think about something that brings forth the positive feeling of love, appreciation, or gratitude. And then you just continue focusing on your heart and breathing until you kind of, like I said, get to that center point where you can, okay, now I can see, who do I call? What do I do? You know, if you need to do 911, you may not have a whole lot of time to do that. But, I mean, literally, it's as crazy as if you're so stressed out, you may not even realize what is 911.
Mm-hmm. Well, one thing I wanted to say, a while ago, I think it's been over a year now, but we did Presence with Amy Cuddy. And one thing that really came out of that book was that if you do any of these practices for even just a short amount of time, that your body gets entrained to knowing what that is, and you don't necessarily have to physically be doing it for your body to know to do it. So I think, it's just a matter of practicing it a few times and being able to get entrained with that, and then you could just say, you just do it all in your mind, or you could just take a position, like a superwoman or whatever, and your body's going to automatically have a sense of those feelings because you've done the time to be able to practice and have it be something that, it's automatically turning into a go-to because you take the time to be, putting these kinds of exercises into just a daily routine.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. And so
do you want to talk about stress?
That's kind of what we're talking about here. there's two different things, right? There's the what you calm down enough to make that next decision, and then focusing us on what I can do in real-time resilience. So if you're not at a place where you can really balance things and make sense of, first you got to get yourself calm.
Yeah, because, that's the one thing. And the number one thing, no matter if to whoever you're going to talk to, I think they always go back to the breath. And there's a really wonderful exercise in here about just counting to four in, counting to four out, and really just watching yourself and being able to be in that breath and being able to, if it's like you're talking about, you've got this, you were in a car accident or you have something happen with somebody got seriously injured or something. Let me just take a second to breathe and catch my breath. Because there's so many times we can hyperventilate and be up in our lungs instead of being in the diaphragm and do more of a belly breath as opposed to a lung breath. I think that's going to be something that, it sounds like a simple thing and then being able to do that. But, if you look at statistics, over 80% of stress, any kind of illnesses and things like that, any kind of anxieties and things like that are based in stress. So we can learn to be able to calm ourselves down, be able to catch our breath, and being able to say, okay, where am I and what do I need to do just in this moment? It really helps to not allow yourself to just get pulled away when you're not even really centered within yourself. Real important. And I just wanted to bring up a couple things that I was kind of surprised to find out. Because, when it comes to stress, a lot of people might think about, I feel anxious or have these things. But it can turn really into things where you have body aches and you can feel fatigue and you can even feel depressed. There's all different kinds of things that are basically aspects of the way that stress can express themselves within the body. And it's really good to just take a little bit of time to really look at, what can happen when you're in a stressful situation and how can that, of course it may be affecting me emotionally, but how is that really going to affect my body? So it's something to really kind of step back and be able to look at that. So it can really play, And they were saying, if somebody's in a stressful situation, that you're more susceptible to the common cold because your immunities are down and things like that. People are like, really? I'm stressed? Oh yeah, think about it. Depending on your job situations and if you're in a place where you can feel safe or you're always anxious because you got to be competing for the job or the boss or anything like that. So it's just really, really interesting on how that really affects you in a lot of different ways. So this is another reason why, getting to this calm, focused, real-time resilience can be something that really can help you definitely in a health level. I think that's another component that I really want to make sure that we talked about with the book.
Well, and I would back up a little bit. Right before that, they talk about that one consequence of stress is anxiety. And the anxiety is in manageable doses is a great motivator. But too much of it, like you're saying, causes illness, causes, they did talk about a study where people who had the highest range of stress in a group that they studied were twice as likely to get, as those who scored low on stress, to get a cold. And we see that over and over again. And I think one thing I want to talk about in terms of what is stress, well, stress is receiver defined. Something that could be really stressful for me could be really exciting for you and not stressful.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's really important for you to start noticing what are your stressors. And then we're back to where we were with getting the love you want. They talk about that when you're confronted with a stressor, you know, such as an imminent danger, your body is called into stress reaction, which you start pouring out adrenaline and cortisol, you know, getting to defend you from that tiger, right, our ancestors. And I love it. They say making deadlines is important. Getting the kids to school on time matters. Peaceful family dinners are worth striving for. But none of these situations does the success of our genetic lineage lie in the balance. Yet in spite of the dramatic change in the nature of our stressors, most human beings regularly encounter, the stress response has remained unchanged. See, Tom leaving the boardroom in search of a client, once the fight or flight response begins, is identical to Throg leaving the campfire in search of food.
Mm-hmm. It's that primal, you know, just human
primal
condition.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Human condition.
So,
well, you know, they talk about adrenaline and cortisol, you know, and there's that age-old story about the woman that was like 110 pounds from Boston, and her husband became trapped underneath the family van, and she was able to lift it and get so he could get out. You know, just like become superwoman just because of the adrenaline was pumping in her so much that she's just able to do this heroic thing when it's a matter of, you know, not really thinking what you're doing, you're just doing it. So that's powerful.
I think so. And so they talk about some people are overwhelmed by stress more quickly than others. And so what part of it is you've got to get to train yourself. How do I deal with that? So I was in Sedona, Arizona this last weekend, and one of my favorite places has the coolest cards. So I always go in there to look for cards, and it had a picture of Buddha on the outside, kind of cartoonish, but kind of serious at the same time. And underneath it said, "Adapt a Buddhitude."
A Buddhitude?
A Buddhitude.
Oh, that's cute.
Isn't that so?
What are you doing?
So,
a Buddhitude.
check your Buddhitude at the door. You know what I'm saying? Or get a Buddhitude.
I think you want to get a Buddha, too.
I would like others to get a Buddha, too, certainly. You know? So
yeah.
Yeah, I know, pretty good, right? So, say on page 191, they say, resilient people believe they have a direct influence on the events that control their lives and translate their beliefs into action. And then bottom line is people feel like they have a sense of control. And I think that if you feel like you do, I work with people at end of life in hospice, and the people who seemed to do better, you could have the same outlook, you know, two people that have been told that they're at the end of their lives, and one just really, I'm going to live it to my fullest, I'm going to work on my relationships, and another one's like, what's the point, I'm going anyway, I might as well just, you know, whine and complain and play Eeyore. It's like they have the same thing, but they're choosing to look at it different, and they are controlling how they're dealing with the situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, really interesting. Really, really interesting. So, and I really love this section too, because it's like, you know, the people feeling overwhelmed by stress and like more than others. And there's that three different aspects that they talk about. You know, it's like Amy just talked about control. And the second one says resilient people also score higher on measures of engagement or commitment to what they are doing. For them, work is not just work. It's a source of meaning for their lives. So, I mean, it goes back to that we talked before about, you know, why do people live so long? And there's a community in California called Loma Linda. It's with a Seventh-day Adventist. And they're very much into community. They're very much into purpose. And people have a tendency there to live longer, even though, you know, it's not about pollution or anything like that. It's a matter of just certain kinds of support systems that they basically make within the community. The people know that they're loved and well cared for, and they have the support that they need. So I think that's something that we really want to talk about when it comes to a sense of purpose,
that when we have that, it really is, it's a sense of security for ourselves that's bigger than ourselves. I think that's really important, too.
Well, I think it's as simple as, I'll let you fill in the blank, but I know you're having the flower shop and being involved in people's events, their weddings, their funerals, their baby showers. So for you, it isn't just, you know, throwing flowers together. What is the meaning in your work at the flower shop, Robin?
Well, it's that way of just bringing beauty to a different kinds of experiences, so people can really open themselves up to the feeling and sharing with one another in a different way. Because, I mean, you know, think of a funeral that wouldn't have flowers. There's just something wrong, you know, that just feels really wrong and off when you have that going on. But, you know, to have nature and beauty around you, it really is it's something else that really can help with being in real-time stress management, real-time resilience. You know, look at flowers. Flowers are so resilient, you know, when it comes to that being so hardy and how they just hold on, you know, like a grass coming through, you know, asphalt, that kind of thing. It's like, you know, that tenacity of thriving and growing, even when things around you may seem like, you know, what's the point, right, with some people. But they automatically just have this resilience that they just helps us over and over again to be able to find that within ourselves.
Well, and it's interesting when you know, when something happens at work or your family, you know, hopefully you have, but I'm going to go with each family has somebody that is that calming force, and the office or the team or the family looks to that person. How do we stay calm like that?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if not, maybe you need to be that person. You know, and they talk about to be more resilient, you need to be able to handle stress well. And what I talk to people, so your stress is not going away. Number one, you need to know what's not good stress for you, and how do you find ways to work with that. And then you need to incorporate the ways to handle, because the more stressful, my goal is the more stressful it gets in my life, the more calm I want to be. So that's what I work to do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And they said they're talking about the controlled breath.
Mm-hmm.
So he'd already talked about the heart breath, but Dr. Wild, you know his work, don't you, Robin?
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, if you go on YouTube, you just or Google Dr. Wild and 478 breath. He'll walk you right through that, and it's, you know, it's. I don't think he invented it. I think it's, you know, a traditional yoga breath, and we talked about that. You know, well, there's all kinds of numbers in that, but. So let's just kind of do that right now. So what you do is you breathe into four. You hold to seven. And you breathe out to eight. Let's breathe into four. Hold to seven. Breathe out to eight. One more time. Breathe into four. Hold to seven. Breathe out to eight. So you can be doing that, and people don't need to know what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. It's really true.
You know, it just automatically gets, and it's like 4, 7, 8, and so it kind of moves your brain. And there's a technique they're going to talk about here in a minute about kind of just really just kind of resetting your brain by. I know Dr. Miller, Kristen Miller, she talks about that when people are blah, blah, she'll have like, name the things that are yellow in this room, or, you know, count by fives, you know, or something to just kind of get you in touch with something, you know, cognitive or something that's real, something that's in this moment.
Yeah, that's a great exercise. Well, and I've heard one exercise. I know Michelle, she's been on the show before. She would actually just say that you would start like way to the side of you, and you would actually go and look at everything around you and slowly work yourself all the way back to where you started.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And it automatically slows you down, and it really helps to ground you and center you to where you are. Yeah. And she said when she first started doing that, she was amazed at so much detail that she just didn't even notice in any place she would be. Yeah.
Mhm.
Yeah.
And that's a great way to keep the present moment. It's like, If you haven't seen when Christopher Robin movie,
Christopher Robin, yeah.
I highly recommend it. So he's on the train. Are you with me, Robin?
Uh-huh.
Car, tree, cow. So that's what he does. He just starts noticing things.
Mm-hmm.
I can't.
It's a really great way to slow down.
Say what you see. He called it "Say what you see."
Yeah, say what you see. Amy. Oh, okay.
Wow. You're amazing if you can see me. That's pretty impressive.
I know.
So, do you
want
to talk about the progressive muscle relaxation?
Yeah. Progressive, they refer to it in the book as the PMR. And I actually like to call it a body scan. If you're familiar with
Kabat-Zinn.
Thank you, Mr. Kabat-Zinn. John is really wonderful, and you know, I was watching a documentary about some of the work that he had done with Bill Moyer, and they started talking about meditation and the program that he does in his Boston hospital. And he just talked about the body scan. And with a lot of work that John does, he works with people who are basically the medical profession. You know, they may have frozen backs and just different kinds of issues with the body that the medical profession just can't do anything anymore. They've done really everything that they know possible with it. So they start going into these yoga programs and being able to just be with the body and figure out ways that they could have movement, they could have connection. And one of the things that he does with everybody is the body scan. So it's just real simple. Just you can just sit in a chair, put your feet on the floor, your hands on your lap, and just start doing the deep breaths, the breathe into four, and then out to hold for seven, and then out to eight. And you basically, you know, you focus on your head. You breathe with your head, and your forehead, your eyes, your ears, your nose, working down to the mouth and throat, and just working your way down the body, and just, you know, take time to just like take a breath and just be able to relax. You know, I'm going to relax my eyes. I'm going to relax my jaw. I'm going to relax my throat. And you just like work your way and actually take a nice deep breath and be in that part of your body and just allow yourself with the exhale to just feel it relax and kind of just melt a little bit and soften. And you work all the way down to your feet. And it really, that's actually something that's really helped me over the years. For me, I had done Louise Hay. Louise Hay is at least still on YouTube, has a couple different free videos out there that basically do body relaxation. And I recorded it on my phone on my voice recorder, and then I would just listen to it every night before I went to bed. And boy, I can go to sleep. My husband's amazed. I can go to sleep in about 3 minutes.
Because
I'm so entrained. You know, I've done it so many times that I know exactly how to relax my body. And you know, they talk about an advanced level of that would be, you know, you do your head, your upper torso, your lower torso, you take a breath, and you're relaxed. You know, you don't necessarily have every part of the body. You get to the point where I breathe my body, I relax. So it really helps you to get to a place where you can do it quickly.
Yeah, you can go online. You can get these really easy and just call it, you know, muscle relaxation or, you know, body scanning. But I think the point I want to really make sure, I mean, you could do like your big toe and then your second toe. I mean, you can really do this. But, you know, what you want to do is you want to tighten. So imagine tighten your foot, tighten your left foot, tighten, relax. And then tighten your right foot and relax. And so it's that you're causing that tension, and then release. I think it's a great thing to do before you go to sleep, and I'm totally with you. I used to do the 45-minute one. I did the Jon Kabat-Zinn Full Catastrophe Living Training. It was a 12-week course. You know, and we would do the whole 45 minutes. Remember, you and I many years ago would do the sitting meditation and the mountain meditation, the walking meditation.
Mm-hmm. From the lake.
His work. Yeah, mm-hmm. Just so many. The raisin meditation, that's one of my personal favorites. And you never did the raisin meditation?
You become a raisin. No, but you know, people, like, if they don't know what we're talking about, they're like, raisin? You're going to bet, you know, what? A raisin meditation. And so it's basically you would eat a raisin.
It's hard to get your raisins to meditate, but you can teach them.
it reminds me of in California, they had this thing where they had a bunch of grapes and they turned into raisins. So it was the California raisins, and they were like this singing group. Anyway, I digress. But
But the whole idea of the raisin was to actually put one raisin in your mouth and really chew it and taste it and spend a lot of time with the raisin. And oh my gosh, there's so much flavor and so much texture to a raisin that you don't even think about it until you actually spend some time just being very mindful of the raisin.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. So it's a really, it's a great exercise, and it really helps you to enjoy your food quite a bit more when you've done that, just in general. It makes you pause and really just take a bite and enjoy it.
So if you want to learn to be mindful, really mindful, so what you're going to do, it doesn't have to be a raisin. A raisin could be a piece of chocolate, whatever. But what you do is, for you, so you take it and you smell it and you look at it. And I did it with your daughter, my niece Katie, once, and she listened to the raisin. I'm like, all right. I never thought to listen to it, but
yeah, it makes a little crinkle sound. It makes a sound, yeah. When you like,
pretend you're from another planet and you've never seen a raisin is what the idea is. That's at the beginner mind. Then you put it in your mouth and just hold it there, and then, you know, for a while, and then let it roll around, then chew and swallow. And then you do a raisin like you normally would. So you just see, oh, wow, I'm not really, you know, taking advantage of this. So what let's go back to the body scan or the progressive muscle relaxation. Yes, I'm with you. I used to do that 45-minute thing for a long time, but then like you, what I found was I just didn't get started, and I'd be out. And so what I recommend, if you wake up in the middle of the night, there's always a reason why. I have a pad of paper by my bed, and a lot of times when I wake up, it's not a body function, well, then it's I need to write down a note. And I write down that note, and then I start doing the muscle relaxation, and boom, I'm out. Do not get up.
Yeah, really, really well.
You know,
yeah, and I mean, with anxieties and things like that, I mean, I've gone to the dentist before and had a root canal, and I basically, that's what I did while I was getting my root canal. I just kept continually doing a body scan and just kept continually relaxing my body.
And you're
right.
You can do that anywhere at any time. You want to, you know, when you're driving, you want to be a little more careful, but, you know.
You can do that, I think, but really with driving, it's more focusing on your breath and kind of being with your breath so you can be present with a lot of different things. And I think that's really one of the keys, too, is because people always think that with meditation and a lot of these mindful exercises that you're just going to sit and do them. But for me, and I'm sure you would agree with this, too, is like it's so much more beneficial when you're actually just out and about in the world and you're just practicing. And it's amazing how it's the way it can integrate into just different, you know, things that you're doing all the time with experiences. It really enriches the experience. It helps you to see things and people in a different way. So it's really great to be able to just be in anything. And, you know, I've heard that ultimately your goal should be that, you know, you're just in this mindful practice all the time. When you just live your life in a mindful way. Yeah, you're being very mindful.
So being mindful of our time. So one of my personal favorites, I love using imagery. It's funny, they say positive imagery, yes and no, depending on what you're trying to do. But I like to use imagery with people and myself, no matter what I'm doing. If you're going to be going to a networking event, imagine yourself, you know, going there and meeting somebody that really, you know, makes a difference, or whatever, or just, you know, imagine the church at the beach and that you're calming and relaxing. So there's lots of books and classes on that, but I'm a big fan of making visualization a normal part of everything you do, because you're daydreaming already and you're worrying, so you're already visualizing, so why not use it for, you know, your best power? So intrusive thoughts, let me just kind of run through this real quick, and then the solutions we talked about. This is intrusive thoughts undermine your resilience in three ways. Number one, often center on negative experiences and cause your mood to turn sour. Two, they may lead you to obsess, and obsessing interferes with problem solving. And number three, they simply waste your time. So there's a lot of words on that. I don't think, but I think, so let's go, Robin, to page 204, and they talk about using focusing techniques to combat intrusive thoughts. Those mental games that we talked about, and there's several of them. So you want to finish this out, go through those real quick?
Yeah, one of them was called the alphabet game, and you would basically, you know, it's funny because, like, you know, again, this is a very mental book in some of the exercises and stuff that they do. One of the alphabet games that I like to do is you just go through all the different, you know, go all through the alphabet and, you know, pretend you're in a zoo or safari, and you could think of all the different animals that you could go ahead and use for the alphabet, and I think that's really fun. They talk about rhyming. You know, that's one thing I love to do is sing and rhyme, and just because people have natural rhythms when they say words, sometimes it can be I kind of hear it as a song, and so I'll just start singing the melody or whatever that I hear in the way that they said something and turning it into a song, and it makes it pretty fun. So it's something that my family kind of does. It's just in a playful way where somebody will say something, all the time we turn it into something else, or we'll put it to a different melody. We do it to a melody that we all know, that kind of thing. That's something that really helps to be something that really minimizes stress. And even like poetry, different poems that you already like and that's something that you really, that resonates with you, you could be memorizing that and be something that you'd be able to, like, read to yourself or say to yourself, and in the matter of having something that gives you comfort and strength and things like that, depending on what the poem's about. So that's some of the ideas that they had.
So, I mean, as simple as you can just say, okay, I'm going to stop and like do the Winnie the Pooh thing. See it, say
mm-hmm.
it.
Mm-hmm.
Flip chart, pen, coffee mug, phone.
Mm-hmm.
I think we need to add the Winnie the Pooh in our book too, Robin. So we should write that.
Yeah,
in.
I think they need to do a Winnie the Pooh.
See it, say it.
Yeah, I think that would be great. You know, and we're already out of time, and I think the second section of this book is on real time resilience, and I think that would be something since Kristen's going to be coming on the show. I think that would be something that would be great that we could bring her in and have her talking about it with just the different aspects with the second part of the chapter.
And not only that, but we're moving into the last part three and the last four chapters is about how you bring this into relationship, how you bring this in as a parent, how you bring it into work, how you bring it into life. So when working with Kristen, she'll help us with some of that and really how do you be mindful when you're in the middle literally of a firestorm.
Yeah, so we really encourage everybody to come back for part two of, real-time stress management. And we'll really get into the real-time resilience aspects, and be wonderful to have Kristen really sharing her perspective on that we have with everybody. Mm-hmm. So I want to thank everybody for joining us. Thank you, Miss Amy.
What an honor to be here. And here we go.
That was easy.
It was easy, calming, focused, fast, portable, and fun. It should be fast, portable, and fun. So there you go. So thank everybody for joining us. And again, we love to hear your comments, suggestions, and go ahead and leave them. We've been sharing with us. So, and we'll see you next time here at the cafe. Thanks for joining us.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the Transformation Cafe podcast. To learn more, visit transformation-cafe.com for show notes, guest information, and links to previous shows. You can also subscribe to the Transformation Cafe podcast on iTunes. Join us again next time at the Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul.